You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner, Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
I'm Deanne Jennings, and I'm here to share data and dive into the world of finance with you.
Advisors associated with Prout Financial Design may be either 1, registered representatives with and securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC, and investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, or 2, solely investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, and not affiliated with LPL Financial. Investment advice offered through CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, CG Advisory Services, and Prout Financial Design are separate entities from LPL Financial. Dennis Prout and Nathan Prout are solely investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services and are not affiliated with LPL Financial. The opinions voiced in this show program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriately qualified professional before making a decision.
WTCM News Talk 580, welcome aboard to New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design in Traverse City, Michigan, starring Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
It is great to be here. Thank you, Ron. Thursday, as you mentioned, 9/7/23. If you do happen to be listening to the rebroadcast, that is a rebroadcast on Saturday, 9 a.m., happy to have you with us here this morning, and thank you. Thank you for listening. Your questions, if you should have a question of a financial nature, please, Ron.
You can call that in, if you like, at 231 area code 947-0023. You can also text us a message at 833-728-1140, 833-728-1140.
And we certainly appreciate those questions. They help us round out what we're talking about and keep us connected to what you are thinking. Joining us today is Heidi Cartwright. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm glad to be here. It's a beautiful, rainy day.
Yeah. Fallish.
Fallish. Very fallish.
Yeah.
Yes.
Fallish. You bet. Well, you know, given the weather we had this last weekend, insane. I'll get into that in just a moment. But Heidi is our own RICP and managing executive, and you have a class coming up. What's that all about? Roth IRAs.
Yes, I am teaching one of the Lunch and Learns. That's in October 18th, and that's Wednesday from noon to 1. And I'm going to talk about Roth IRAs because I just love Roth IRAs. It's a great strategy tool. It's a great tool to help you manage things in retirement, because when you take money out of a Roth, there's no tax. Where your traditional IRA, that's not the same story. So tax-free income always sounds good to me.
Tax-free income, especially if we anticipate tax rates going up. Today's relatively low tax rates could be an opportunity to convert, and we're thinking about contributing, contributing to a Roth IRA. So lots of ways to consider that particular instrument. Again, October 18th, and if you want to sign up, what would someone do?
Just call our office, Prout Financial Design, or you can email Beth at Prout Financial Design. Our number is 231-947-3992.
Why does everyone else need to do this for you, Dennis? What, you can't do this? I like to hear other people chime in, and that is Deanne Jennings. Good morning, Deanne.
Good morning, Michigan. Happy to be here.
Hey, great to have you here, our own director of operations. Lots going on today, but as we were coming home from our McCormick trip, five gentlemen and myself.
Oh, that is the McCormick
including
trip.
Myself, I should say.
What was the McCormick trip?
That was a trip to the McCormick Wilderness. McCormick's, who are McCormick Deering tractor people, back in the early 1900s, slowly acquired property in the UP west and somewhat north of Marquette near Michigamme.
Mishagumi.
It's about 17,000 acres or so.
Near Bulldog Lake?
My gosh, I can't believe you pulled that up. We were on Bulldog Lake. Holy cow. I can't believe that that's that available.
Yeah, let's Google Maps. I just pulled it up when you said McCormick Wilderness.
Well, we...
Look at that. That's pretty...
That's very remote.
Yeah,
that's
remote.
Very up north.
Far north.
Well, how remote is it, Dennis? Well, we... Well, let's just dive into that story, shall we? There were five of us, and Dave Feelstra led the group of us. He's had a lot of experience in the outdoors, and more experience than us by far in the McCormick Wilderness. So we we took five backpacks, weighing approximately 75 pounds apiece, and two canoes with us. Some people would call us insane. In fact, Dave said to me yesterday, Dennis, I don't know if I'm up for carrying a canoe in there again because it is 3.5 miles and it's not a straight trek. Yeah. So there are switchbacks, roots, stumps, crud, all this
bears.
We did not see a bear. Thank you. We've heard bears in the past, but did not see even evidence. We did
sounded
not see
just like that.
So much. Yeah, something like that. And we left from our house, towing a trailer behind us, about 8:30 or so in the morning, and got to the campsite about 8:30 that night. So that 3.5 mile trek was about 3 hours to get in because we're schlepping all this stuff with us.
Walking for 3.5?
Yeah.
Wow.
Walking for 3.5 miles.
I thought you said 3.5 hours. Or 3.5 miles.
That's still a big trek to get in. Yes. Mm-hmm. And part of that was getting to our campsite. So we actually had to pack up the canoes with our stuff. The sights are just so breathtaking because most people don't take canoes in there. And once you get about a mile or so into it, you find out why. Well, I'm a bit tired here.
Dennis, I picture you camping in a suit.
The tie would get in the way.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. It's a great way to swat the flies, you know. Dennis was not in a suit, but it was something that you just can't even replace. The memories, the roughness, the beauty, the fishing, literally art, I'll just call him Art. He cast 4 times and 3 times fish grabbed onto it. It was just so much fun to just throw the line in and bam, you know, they're all over it. We just had a lot of fun. So for those who are, I would say, quite robustly outdoors people, that would be a requirement to head into something like that. On Sunday, we decided to take a trip from there. We'd headed up on Friday. Sunday, we decided to try to hike to Yellow Dog Falls. And I don't know whether that might show up on Google. But we took a wrong turn. Now, we had GPS, Dave's phone, as well as a topo map and compass. Well, we zigzagged through this woods trying to find Yellow Dog, but because we'd lost the trail, we were there. It is right there. We couldn't find it, and in fact, there were things showing up on the map, or rather, in real life, that were not on the topo map, which is interesting. Topo, however you pronounce that, and honestly, I thought if I were to describe this to a conservationist, speaking of the mossy lower lands where, you know, you're stepping gingerly to try to avoid getting your feet soaked, to the majestic pine that was in the distance, and literally we thought someone had tried to build something next to it. And as we got closer, realized that this huge monarch pine, literally 3 or so feet in diameter, had just been struck and trashed. The whole top of the pine was on the ground. The whole thing. And you could see where the strike had split that huge, humongous trunk right down the middle. It was powerful. Yeah. And then moose. We saw so much evidence of moose. I'll just put it that way. It was like their club we ran into on the top of this hill. And, oh, my gosh, it just the ferns as well. Just trying to describe some of the pieces here. The ferns were maybe 3 feet tall or so. They looked like small palm trees. Mm. Just beautiful.
So is that, did you like make reservations at a campsite where you can get it, or do you just, is it rough?
Nobody goes up there.
Reservations
not required. Thank you very much. It's just, sorry to laugh at that, Ron, but you would think so. But no, you don't have to make reservations up there because most people know better. It was
McCormick
Wilderness.
And the Yellow Dog River, I heard, is beautiful.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Natural.
It is. Everything about it was beyond expectations, even including the gentlemen who were before me and the trek. This is all their, this story is all their fault. They really did disturb quite significantly a ground hornet's nest. And so by the time I got there, those guys were just, had it, frankly, with visitors. And I yelled to Art behind me, ground bees! And as I knew intuitively, as soon as I yelled that they were coming after me. Mm. And they were successful. Oh. They beat me up and down quite significantly. So I paid the price for that one. I think it was 4 stings and all better.
Ouch.
Now, thank you.
But
as a part of
the
trek, I did. Yeah. Yeah, as a part of the trek, that made it very interesting thinking as I'm wondering, well, you know, I hope I'm going to be okay in this heat because it was probably 85 or so that day. But overall, just a beautiful experience and one I would recommend highly to those who like the outdoors. And we actually went over to Lake Margaret, too, which I don't know if you can see there, Ron.
Is that
connected there in the lower part of your map there. That was go up a bit right there, like right there. Yeah. Well, you just had it.
Right here.
Yeah. We saw that only from a distance because the Portage Trail was totally overwhelmed with downed trees. There were a lot of downed trees in that area. And you look at it from the rock outcropping, if you will, next to the lake, and it almost doesn't look real because of the reflection of the trees on the edge of the lake.
Yes.
It's an exact replica, if you will. And at nighttime, for those who've experienced this, you can see the stars and the moon.
Beautiful.
In the lake itself. And the moon was full or almost full most of the days we were up there.
Somebody just texted a photo, Dennis, a winter trip to McCormick. Great story, Dennis.
Wow.
Look at
That's
there.
Cool.
That is awesome.
They've got a little lean-to there.
Oh, my gosh.
They
talk about hardy
there.
Souls.
Winter hiking.
That is so cool. Thank you for sending that. Huh. Yeah. Yeah. So for those of you who even want to investigate it, it is well worth investigating. It's a rough country, and it's beautiful. The reason the McCormicks had, it was said, decided to start accumulating that property is because it is a watershed. So for the variety of wildlife and terrain, geography, I'll just say flora and fauna,
go,
you bet. Now to our economics today, we're going to be discussing quite a bit. Heidi is talking about whether or not you should take RMD relief. I'm talking about the economy and trying to shed some light on that today. Chicken, I'm going to dive right into this article, and also our own economists writings here. Chicken Little, a.k.a. Henny Penny, was a character that was created in the 1880s and was infamous for over-exaggerating threats to existence, most notably with the phrase, "The sky is falling." It's understandable that many investors are worried about a stock market crash, given the many analysts who are currently saying that the stock market is forming a bubble. A big reason for this rising trend in investors' belief is the likelihood of a crash, rather, is the fact that the stock market has suffered two bear markets in a recent 2.5-year period, February through March of 2020 and January through October of 22. Rarely do two bear markets occur in such quick succession, and that has soured many investors' long-term outlooks. Consider the 38 bear markets that have occurred since 1900. So, of course, going back a ways, most people would say that's about 123 years.
About that.
Yes. In only three cases did two bear markets occur in such quick succession. Two of those three instances occurred during the Great Depression, and a third took place in the early 1960s. Thus, it has been more than 60 years since two successive bear markets have occurred so closely together. Obviously, that's been a while. Now, losses, according to neuroeconomic disciplines, that discipline, losses generate disproportionately more pessimism than gains lead to optimism. This causes what this person calls a pessimism bias. Not only is this bias widespread after periods of large losses, it dissipates slowly, even when the stock market's subsequent performance is very strong. So this bias toward pessimism may not be helping some of us. So, with that, we want to keep that in mind as we're investing. Is this pessimism bias overdone, perhaps, in terms of the stock market? And as an example, while technology may be partially overvalued right now, the technology that we can or hope to look to for the future, it would tend to indicate, I'll say, significant returns over the coming years. So when we have these short-term, perhaps overdone periods, if you will, or overpriced periods, your best bet may simply be to hold fast and not sell and be a longer-term investor. And Deanne's going to be able to share with us some of the benefits of longer-term investing, too. Now, I also want to discuss, we have a couple minutes here still, Ron, what is going on with the Federal Reserve trying to cut inflation and how that is really difficult for them to do. Why, perhaps, as well. The irony of the Federal Reserve's campaign to rein in inflation by increasing interest rates is that rising interest rates and bond yields are simultaneously increasing the federal deficit by hundreds of billions of dollars, which we've talked about in some of our previous shows. And some would say even trillions, inflationary. Yes, sir.
How do, because we mentioned the other day, the deficit was at
About $30 trillion right now.
Yeah, and it's going to double, they say, basically this year. So it's going up. The deficit's going up. But how is that caused by
the deficit itself? The total deficit's not going to double. I'm not sure what you're referencing there. But
I'll show you. But Biden had it was at $3 trillion, whatever. It went down to one, and now it's going back up to two. But
the
I was going to
current
add,
budget deficit.
Right.
Yeah.
How does the Fed actions affect the deficit? Because the article I read, they weren't sure all the causes of the deficit going up. And you just said the Fed trying to fight inflation is actually adding to the deficit.
Oh, yes, significantly, because of the cost of the interest that they're having to pay on T-bills.
Oh, that's right, because they're spending more on interest.
That's
okay.
Right.
Got it.
Interest rates have risen that dramatically, and the debt is that great. So the amounts are just,
More money out of the pocket paying interest.
Mm-hmm. Right. In other words, by their actions, they are creating the very inflationary pressures they seek to dampen.
Huh.
Yep. Now, what's interesting is that Russell Napier calls this dynamic the Treasury put, which means that they're in essence, pushing the price of Treasury bonds down as yields come up. Like the infamous Fed put when Chairman Greenspan and Bernanke employed to keep financial markets afloat through economic turmoil, the Treasury put is now keeping inflation aloft by inflating fiscal deficits, as you kind of referenced there, Ron. And it is effectively rewriting the narrative of what we can expect from the economy and the markets in the years to come. This fiscal put is set to continue inflating in the years ahead, as demographics and rising interest rates continue to swell deficits into the 2030s. So how do we approach this? Well, energy, as Heidi pointed out in our pre-show prep, energy is probably, we always have to say probably, and most likely, going to be a good investment. So are those investments that tend to perform with inflation, whether it's Treasury inflation protection securities and or other hedges, such as gold, silver, and those sorts of assets that are related to it. Now, the problem with all of these is they fluctuate in price. And, of course, silver fluctuates in price, as much in price as any asset out there. So beware, of course, as you enter these kinds of investments, that you will have volatility to put up with as a part and parcel of that particular investment, including, in fact, of course, energy as well. So these are longer-term pieces or parts of our economy that you can employ as much as possible to your benefit. But the watchword these days is to stay more conservative. Even owning Treasury bills, as we mentioned, I think, last week, are a much better investment these days because you're getting 5% plus on money that has no risk at all to your principal under current assumptions.
And we have a couple of text messages.
You bet. Let's hit it.
Dennis's friends, the crazy kayakers, want to know if the river was paddleable.
No.
Oh.
The rocks there would really prevent that. You'd have to do a significant amount of carrying. As a part of that, what's the term?
Portage.
Sorry,
portaging.
Thank you.
Ding ding.
Yeah.
All right. Another. I don't know if you have this one. There's an article attached, but it has to do with oil production. It says, "Get ready with Saudi reducing production too," and it looks like we've reduced production of oil here in the U.S. too.
Yeah, that's part of the. That's another contributor to the inflation, obviously, at the pump. Because they're tamping down our own production capabilities. I guess they're going to Alaska here in the next few days to tamp down production there from the Alaskan frontier, unfortunately. You bet. All right. Let's head on, shall we, Heidi, to RMD questions.
Yes, and this comes to us from Ed Slott, and they say RMD relief? No, thank you. So we've been keeping our listeners abreast of the newest rulings from the IRS, and this is sort of a review of one that came out a couple of months ago. And to the surprise of a lot of accountants and people who deal with all the regulations on this, is the IRS came down on another side than what people were expecting. It released the proposed SECURE Act regulations requiring beneficiaries. And in this case, keep in mind, we're talking about non-spouse beneficiaries. So children, adult children, any other person who's not a spouse So that is who we're talking about in this case. Spouses have special rules, and we'll go through those at some other time. So they required beneficiaries to take a required minimum distribution during the 10-year payout period. So when you inherit an IRA and you're a non-spouse beneficiary, you have to get all that money out of the account in 10 years. It has to go down to zero. But in addition to that, you may have to take a required minimum distribution on an annual basis. So there was a lot of confusion with this rule because people didn't really expect the IRS to continue to have people make RMDs since they had to get the money out of the account in 10 years. So it caused a lot of confusion. So they offered some relief. So they issued a notice which waived penalties for missed RMDs in years 2021, 2022, during that 10-year period. So if someone passed away, and we're going to give you example later in 2020, and you didn't know you needed to take these RMDs or you forgot, there is no penalty for years 2021 and 2022. And then this year, they issued another waiver for missed RMDs in that situation for 2023. So that's 3 years in a row that people did not have to take that required minimum distribution. At first, it may seem that every beneficiary who is subject to the 10-year rule would take advantage of this and say, hey, I'm going to keep my money in the IRA so then I won't have any tax when I take that money out. And so they may take advantage of that. But that brings us to the question, should you take that money out? And it may be actually a smart planning move to take a step back and look and say, maybe I should continue to take money out or not. And why would you think that? Well, anyone who is eligible for this relief, the waiver of the penalty, also has that 10-year deadline looming. And it may be tempting to skip the RMD so that you can avoid the income tax this year, but you could be building up a larger tax bill for yourself farther down the line because you have to take out larger lump sums.
It's interesting because it's not only that. You don't have to just take the RMD. If you do have a year of lower income, you can always take more than the RMD. The RMD is the required minimum, even for, as we're discussing, a non-spouse beneficiary. What does that mean? Well, he or she is often under the age of 59 and a half, because they tend to be children of the IRA owner. So this is one of the few sources you can draw from without that is, in essence, it is a qualified account and not pay the 10% penalty.
Exactly.
You do have to pay the tax, but the tax rates are incredibly low today, 12% up to $89,500 of taxable income. That is a very, very low rate. And I'm talking to more accountants and seeing more articles by accountants saying that they're advising some of their clients to fully fill up the 22% bracket as well, because they are so, both 12 and 22, both historically very low.
Correct.
You bet.
And we also know with the Tax and Jobs Act that our current, if Congress does nothing, our current income tax bracket rates are going to increase in 2026.
Correct.
Going back to what they were prior to the 8-year Tax and Jobs Act bill.
Mm-hmm.
You think they will go back?
If Congress does nothing, it'll automatically go back because it was only good. These lower rates were only good for 8 years.
It may depend on who the next president is, Ron.
We don't
know, honestly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That'll be interesting. Mm-hmm.
So let's give you an example so you can sort of picture what this means. So let's take Deborah, who was 75, and she died in the year 2020. So she is subject to the new rules of the Secure Act. The beneficiary of her traditional IRA is her adult daughter, Brittany. Now, Brittany is a non-eligible designated beneficiary, which means she's not a spouse or a young child or disabled. And she is subject to the 10-year rule under the SECURE Act. The proposed regulations say that because Deborah died after her RMD, so she was 75 and she was already taking RMDs, so she died after she had started taking RMDs. That means that Brittany must continue to take RMDs based on her life expectancy for years 1 through 9.
Did you follow that, Ron? I'm just kidding.
I kind of I follow it, but I just can't believe there are so many layers to this. It's like it's like Bamboozle, that's with a TV game. If this happens, then you could go X or Y. If you choose X, it's A, B, or C. But if it's A, B, or C on a Monday, then you only get to do D if you're 59 and a half. I mean, it's...
I think that's a great description of the tax code on this.
Yeah,
but if you happen to be wearing green on Thursday,
like I'm following you, Heidi, each step. And right when I think, okay, I've got it, you add another layer.
That's right.
This is a perfect example why it's so important to seek out a financial professional someone in your family dies and these things happen to you. It's so important.
Yep. To at least take the amount that you need to and think about it, seek the counsel. In essence, it's honestly, not that complicated. When we're talking about it, it does sound very complex. But as long as you're taking the minimum amounts and or taking a look at your tax bracket, balancing these things out, it's like anything else. You can put it into almost cruise control and head down the road. Okay.
That's right. So we'll finish our illustration. So she's taking the RMDs in years 1 through 9, and she has to have all the money out in 10 years. However, if she failed to take her RMDs in 21 and 22, there's no penalty on the missed RMDs, and there is no penalty for this year, 2023, when she files her taxes.
Right.
So if you forgot, you're off the hook for the penalty. You always have to pay the tax when you take the money out of an IRA. But start looking at it more like, what's the best way? What's the strategic way to pay less tax for that entire 10-year period instead of just looking at the current year only? You want to look down the road a little bit.
Based on your income needs, the things that you might be purchasing that are a bit more perhaps expensive, on and on that goes. So thinking about this as an asset as a part of your total portfolio. That's the way it makes sense to do this. Okay, I've got IRAs, I've got 401ks, I have this non-spouse beneficiary account inherited from my father. What about this account? Oh my gosh, you know, that could be another great asset to own and use for you, okay?
Exactly, and think about if you had a beneficiary IRA and you're buying a new car and you don't want to take that $30,000 out you may need, in 1 year because it'll push you to a higher tax bracket, you could take some of it out in December, some of it out in January, and split it between two tax years.
You bet.
So you can be strategic with those tax brackets.
Nice. All kinds of ways to handle this. Say, phone call. Yes, Ron.
We shall go to Interlochen. Chris is on the line for the crew from Prout Financial Design. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Yes,
good morning.
My question pertains to precious metals, buying precious metals. I listen to radio about 8 to 10 hours a day, and you're bombarded by buying precious metals.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have a friend, let's call it, that has precious metals, and I asked her, I said, well, what happens when you need to cash in that precious metals? And she said that the company that she bought the metals from will buy them back from her. Is that correct?
Depends on the company. There are many companies who will do that. And keep in mind that you may simply, at that point, use it as a means of trade or exchange, as any other currency is. The same way that you're able to use a $5 bill, if you will, to exchange for something of value that is worth, let's say, $5, maybe the same way that you use a silver or gold coin. Now, you may not decide you want to do that and you want to turn it back in. There are lots of dealers out there who will handle those transactions for a reasonable fee. Obviously, check the fees and the people you're working with first, okay?
Now, when I lost her was when I questioned, my question to her was, well, what do they pay you back with? Because if a dollar takes it in the shorts, which is what this country seems to be headed for, and you've bought that gold, and they give you back currency, let's say, that's only available on a credit card where they're going to track, you're no farther ahead. And if your money's only going to be worth anywhere from 55 to 60 cents on the dollar, it's not a good investment.
Well, it's not a good investment to turn it back in at that point, is it? Because right. It's gone up that much in value relative to the currency that you don't like. So I would think about it in those terms. Think about what it is that you already own. Why are you turning it in? Why aren't you using it as a means of trade at that point? You see what I'm saying?
But, right. Yeah, I understand that. But, like, in anything in this country, even if you buy a vehicle, the vehicle's only worth what somebody's willing to buy it from you.
Right.
I don't think the government, when this all hits the fan, is going to allow for the barter system, you know, to, they're not going to allow that. That's not where we're headed in this country. So
no.
I myself, just from what I think, and my wife and I are both close to retirement age now, and I just don't see the point in it. But like I said, you're just bombarded throughout the day, no matter whether it's a sports talk radio or political talk radio, you're just bombarded with it through the day.
You bet. So, well, thank you very much for your phone call.
Yeah, and if you buy precious metals and sell them back, as he said, like you said, watch the fees, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like anything else. We can't anticipate only so much into the future. We know what currently things are at, and we can only we don't know what the federal government might try to do. And they may try to impose, Ron, a 2-drink-per-week limit on beer.
Did you hear that?
You know, who would have ever thought that?
That?
So we don't know what they're going to try to do. We can't control what they are doing. But we can only control our own investment options and things that we might purchase and or ways that we might turn them into a convertible asset at that time. There may be 18 different ways to convert that silver, if you will, into other kinds of cash or other investments that we want in return for that, much more than the current U.S. dollar. You see what I'm saying? So trying to anticipate one piece happening in the future with a relatively narrow scenario doesn't often work. Okay. All right. Deanne, stats, if you would.
Absolutely. Through the end of August, long-term U.S. Treasuries, as measured by the Bank of America, 10-plus-year U.S. Treasury Index were down approximately 9% year-over-year on a total return basis, representing a record 31 straight months that the year-over-year change was negative. Since its monthly peak in July 2020, the 10-plus-year Treasury Index is down 37%, and that source is Bank of America.
That's that Treasury put we were talking about, and that Treasury value is coming down that much.
When it comes to investing for retirement, think time in the market rather than timing the market. Based on its annualized total return of more than 9% since 1928, a single $10,000 investment in the S&P 500 at age 20 would leave you with over $600,000 at age 65. If you don't start until you turn 40, at 65, you'd have just $97,840, and that source is Bespoke.
And what do you have to say about that, Heidi?
Well, I would say if you are 40, $97,000 from your $10,000, that still makes sense. So if you haven't started, you should get started, because look at what you could do for those 25 years.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And kind of along to go with that, many advisors recommend that by the time you turn 50, you should have around 6 times your annual salary saved for retirement. According to analysis by Fidelity, Americans aged 50 to 59 have an average 401k balance of just $190,000, and the median balance is just $57,000, and that source is Fidelity. So, Dennis and Heidi, it says you should have around 6 times your annual salary at age 50. That's a lot of money. What do you guys think about that?
It is a significant amount, and obviously some are going to achieve that if they've started early enough. Because obviously, if your income at that stage is $50,000, 6 times that is $300,000. But that may be a tall order for some. Mm-hmm. It may be already well achieved by others who started early enough. So that's always the key. in having started early enough. But it's also a good marker for thinking about, now, why would I want to do that? Well, because most are retiring, of course, in their 60s. And you want to be able to draw, maybe, depending on your needs, 3 to 5% of the assets that are there in those retirement accounts. But as Heidi mentioned previously, too, it's never too late to start. Mm-hmm. So all of us have regrets in the past about things we wish we could have changed. But do your best, if you will, to think about what you can do about it in the future. That's what I would coach.
And we were talking about this earlier before the show. It's like, don't get discouraged. Do something now. Do something today.
Just get started.
Just get started. That's the hardest step, usually.
It is.
Hurricane Idalia became the 19th major Category 3 or higher hurricane to make a landfall on the U.S. since 1990. While hurricanes are destructive to property, they tend to have little impact on the stock market. In the week following each of the prior 18 major hurricanes that made landfall, the S&P 500's median gain was 1.22%, with gains 15 times, and that source is bespoke.
Interesting.
And going on with what Heidi was talking about earlier, according to the IRS, most account holders, 79.5% to be exact, take more than their yearly RMD, and that source is IRS. The August report on consumer confidence from the Conference Board fell sharply and missed consensus expectations by the largest amount since December 2020. Within the report, the index, which tracks whether jobs are hard to get, increased to its highest level since April 2021, and that source is Conference Board.
Wow, that's interesting. So it was definitely outside the range there. And we have time for the last stat here, Ron? All right.
Investing legend Warren Buffett turned 93 on August 30th. Barron's showed last year that Berkshire Hathaway A shares could fall 99% and still be outperforming the S&P 500 since 1965, when Buffett Berkshire's performance begins.
Wouldn't that have been nice to know? I mean, really, why didn't they tell us?
Well, if you would have put your $10,000 in Berkshire instead of the S&P 500.
So what was the total return, if you would, the end? Finish that last sentence there.
From 1965 through 2021, Berkshire shares generated compound annual return of 20.1% against 10.5% for the S&P 500, and that source is Barron's.
So thinking about this, we actually took a look and said, all right, back up to this illustration at toward the top here. A single $10,000 investment in the S&P 500 at age 20 would leave you about $600,000 at age 65. If it were invested in Berkshire Hathaway stock at 20%, Guess the amount.
1.2 million, I guess, but that's wrong. 1.2
million? Yeah, way more.
Way more.
It was so much more that it was shocking. $36 million.
$10,000 investment in 1965?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, in 45 years later, earning 20% per year.
20%,
because every little over 3 years, you're doubling your money. So given that 45-year period, you have about 14 to 15 doubling points.
Crazy.
It just goes to the stratosphere. Isn't that amazing? While we cannot guarantee those returns in the future, isn't it interesting nonetheless the impact of compounding on those dollars? It's just dynamic.
Can't you just copy? Don't people know what is in his Berkshire Hathaway fund? Can't others copy that?
Some do. You bet. And he's got some great holdings, of course, and the diversification that he has in the portfolio is significant. Some of his stocks have done pretty well. Others have done fantastically well. Others, of course, not so much. That's the diversified portfolio, and he employs, of course, a lot of experience toward that goal.
Isn't his rule, invest what you believe in?
That's one of many, you bet.
And he still lives like in a modest home in Nebraska or somewhere?
First home he bought, as far as I know. He's lived his current lifestyle a long time.
Warren Buffett.
Except perhaps for the jet, you know.
All right, that'll wrap up another episode of New Retirement Radio with Dennis Prout, Heidi Cartwright, and Deanne Jennings of Prout Financial Design in Traverse City. Thank you all.